The Couple Next Door, written by Peg Lynch and starring Peg Lynch and Alan Bunce.
All right. What do you think you're doing?
Oh, I'm sorry, officer. I'm just waiting for my wife.
Don't you know there's a law in this town against double parking in the business district?
Yes, of course I know. I'm sorry. I've just been here 2 minutes, really. She should be right out.
The law is the law.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry. I was supposed to pick her up right outside the department store at 5:30. Sharp, she said. Yeah, you know, women always late.
And were you on time?
Oh, yes. By golly, that's one thing about me. I'm always on time. A lot of good it does when the little woman's always late.
Well, then, if you were on time, you were here at 5:30. It is now 6:10.
Oh, well, I...
In other words, you've been double parked for 20 minutes. Let's have a driver's license.
Look, officer, have a heart, will you?
Driver's license,
look,
please.
Look, officer, I'm a very good friend of Joe McDermott. He's on the force. You know Joe.
Yeah, I know the lieutenant very well.
Yeah.
And only this morning he was saying we had to put some teeth into this business of no double parking. Now, is there some message you might need to give him?
No, here's my driver's license.
Thank you.
I beg your pardon. I didn't mean to stand right in front of the door.
Really?
Oh, well, I'm sorry, ma'am. She's like 6:50. Where can she be?
Would you care to give, sir?
What?
Would you care to give something for the homeless children?
No. I beg your pardon. I didn't mean no like that. I'm sorry. I was just upset. Yes, of course. What's it for?
The poor children left homeless by the typhoon, sir.
Oh, yes. Here you are.
Oh, thank you, sir. Oh, that's most generous of you,
no,
sir.
No, that's all right. Quite okay.
Oh, you're a man who thinks of others less fortunate. Thank you, sir.
Yes, well, it's okay. So, excuse me. Say, are you going to be standing here for some time?
For a while, sir. May I be at some service?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, you could. I've been waiting for my wife for exactly 40 minutes. 45, to be exact. First of all, I got a traffic ticket for being double parked, and I had to park the car in a parking lot and walk all the way back. Well, I've been standing here waiting.
Oh, no doubt. She's been held up by some trivial thing.
Oh, I'm quite sure it's some trivial thing, all right. Well, I'm a little tired of waiting.
Oh, we must have patience, sir.
I've had patience, thank you. I've also had a traffic ticket. Now, look, when she comes out, I'd like you to tell her that I've gone on home.
Oh, I'd be glad to give her the message, sir, but how will I know your wife?
Oh, look, you'll know her. Look for the first woman who comes flying out of the department store, grabbing her packages and looking sort of wild-eyed up and down the street, wearing a red hat and a tan coat.
Just tell her that you've gone on home.
That's right, if you will. Tell her I've gone on home. Oh, is that you, dear? Well, hello.
Well, and where were you?
How do you like that? Where was I? Oh, I was there, dear. Where were you?
I got held up just a few minutes. What are you doing?
I'm doing the dishes. I came home. I cooked a nice steak dinner for Betsy and me. Got her to bed.
Hey.
Yes, picked one up at the corner. The store was still open.
We were going to eat dinner out at the Brookside Inn and go to a movie.
Yes, we were, weren't we? Mm-hmm. But I came home, dismissed the babysitter, cooked dinner, got Betsy to bed. As I said, I didn't know whether to save any steak for you or not. I just didn't know what your plans might be. Look, don't glare at me. I waited there. I got a ticket for double parking. And I had to park the car, and that cost 75 cents in the parking lot. All told, waiting for you, my dear, cost me $5.75 in cash. And 45 minutes of my very brief life on this earth.
All right, I was a few minutes late.
45 minutes.
It couldn't have been 45 minutes.
45 minutes.
Your watch must be wrong.
If my watch is wrong, and so was the clock on the First National Bank, the clock in the car, and also the radio station, because I checked my watch with Naval Observatory time.
I wasn't 45 minutes late, and the reason
I don't want to hear the reasons, if you don't mind. I just don't.
Well, darling,
I'm not mad at you. I'm really not. I'm just sick and tired of always waiting for you. That's all.
No,
you are always late.
I am
always.
Not. No,
darling, you are. I've even heard you refer to yourself that way, as though it was kind of cute. Oh, well, of course, I'm always late. I just cannot be on time.
Oh,
the way I am. Look, there are thousands of people just like you, darling. You keep all the rest of us waiting.
Well, I'm very sorry. You know I wouldn't deliberately
That's
keep
just
you waiting.
It. You're always sorry, but you don't do anything about it.
You've been late to things?
Sure. Everybody has, but at least I make a point of being on time.
The reason I was late is to be quiet in
the reason is not important. Look, that's another thing. People who are late always have excuses.
I was trying to get something, and they didn't have it.
Sure.
And then the floor manager said maybe they had it in the stock room, and they sent somebody down to the stock room. And I waited and waited for him to come back, and I couldn't just leave. They were looking for something I'd asked for.
I said to the woman outside on the street, gave her my message.
Yes, and I was so embarrassed. And that's another
look,
thing.
Look, it's 20 after 8. Where the heck have you been since then?
Well, the store didn't have what I was looking for, and I thought since you'd gone on home and the stores were open, I'd just look some more, so I went to a few other places.
Well, you better take off your coat and stay a while. Now, look, you don't need to glare at me. I'm not trying to be unpleasant about this, but I'm just tired of waiting for you. And in the future, when you're not there, I'll give you 2 minutes leeway, and then I'm going on. That's all. Just as simple as that. Come on, give me a coat.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Don't you understand? They had sent somebody to look for what I wanted in the stockroom, and I couldn't leave. I was way up on the sixth floor. I couldn't get in an elevator and come down and find you and go all the way back up again. I thought that would take too long. And anyhow, I thought the boy would come back from the stockroom at any minute, and I was worried about you.
You didn't worry about me at all, now, did you? You just thought, oh, he'll wait. Come on now, didn't you?
Well, if you're going to be that way, there's no point in even talking to you at all.
Look, I have fired 2 secretaries for coming in late. They have excuses, too. So they thought up new ones every day. Traffic was terrible. They couldn't get a bus. They overslept. They had to stop at the dentist or something. Their mother was sick. Every day, something new. Now, look, we all have responsibilities to each other, don't we?
Yes.
All right. Not only unfair, it's downright rude to keep people waiting. Nobody likes to be kept waiting. It's an ignominious position to be in. Isn't it unfair, really, to waste other people's time?
Yes.
All right, now, if we're going to teach Betsy to have a sense of responsibility, if we're going to teach her to be on time, don't you think maybe her mother ought to learn that, too?
Yes.
Yes, all right. Now, look, when we go anywhere, I always have to wait for you.
Yeah, I
guess
so. No. Well, I don't know. I guess you're right. I try. I just can't seem to make it. I don't get started in time or something.
You don't start to get started in time. That's the trouble. You always think you have plenty of time. Then you realize that you're misjudged at the last minute. You're racing around hysterically and throwing things right and left. And...
Well, unexpected things seem to come up. Well, would you like to fire me like you did the secretary?
No, I'd like to keep you.
My housework is satisfactory?
Oh, yes.
My cooking meets with your approval?
It certainly does. No complaints there at all. I just think it would be nice if once, just once, we could arrive somewhere, right on the button of when we're due. Instead of always arriving and restlessly explaining why we're late.
Well, I'll try. I know I do have a tendency to be a little late, but I will try to be better, dear. I'm sorry I kept you waiting tonight. I really am.
Well, I'm sure you are, but I just want to make it clear that in the future I'm not going to wait for you anymore.
All right, all right. Don't be mad at me. Give me a kiss.
I would be delighted, yes. Get another one. All right, now after this, you'll be on time.
I wasn't 45 minutes late.
You were 45 minutes at 6:15. I was standing outside that department
store. The store closes at 6. Everybody has to leave.
People were still coming out of the store. Don't tell me I didn't wait 45 minutes, because I know I did, and I will never do it again. Now, look, don't resort to tears.
I'm not. I'm very sorry to have kept you waiting. Maybe this will make up for it a little. Here.
Huh? What? What's that?
Present for you.
Present?
Well, you don't care for it now, but I got it for you anyway. Then you might open it and look at it. If you don't like it, I guess I can take it back.
Well, I'll...
It breaks the ribbon. I had it gift wrapped.
Gift wrapped? Well, this isn't my birthday or anything.
No, it wasn't for anything special. Just something you said you wanted. I've been all over town trying to get it for you.
Look, I didn't...
You said you wanted a nice picture on your desk of Betsy and me, and you wanted a special brown leather frame, and that's what they were looking for in the stockroom.
You mean...
They had maroon and green, but you wanted brown. Well, they didn't have it, so I went to Stevens, and then I went to Hale's, and then I went way down to Kramer Barrett's, and they just had green. The others had gold frames and silver, but you wanted that certain shade of brown to match your desk set, so I finally found them way down at Lawler's Leather Goods Store. Yeah, it's in the box. Open it.
Oh, I don't know what to say.
Well, open it and see if you like it.
Yeah.
Well, there it is. Isn't it what you wanted?
Yeah. Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah. Oh, yes, it's beautiful.
You don't look very happy about it.
Well, I feel like a heel.
Oh, you don't need to. As long as it's what you wanted, that's the main thing, darling.
Look, I'm sorry. Well, you're taking the wind out of my sails. Here, I feel as big as a pin.
Oh, I did keep you waiting, and I am sorry. I don't think it was 45 minutes, sweetie. Really,
my watch may have been wrong.
I'm sure it was, sweetie. Really,
it might have been.
Now, I'm hungry. You saved me any steak.
Yes, I did.
Come on out while I eat something and we can talk. Because there's something else I want to ask you about that you did tonight.
That I did?
Uh-huh. Something that I think was wrong, dear.
Something I did that was wrong tonight. No doubt about it. All right, let's have it.
Well, it has to do with having a sense of responsibility. You know what you were talking about? So come on out and we'll talk about it while I'm fixing my dinner. I really like the picture in the frame.
Oh, God, it's just what I wanted. It's beautiful, it really is. You sort of bowled over. Golly, now, what were you going to talk about?
Uh-huh.
Something I did wrong tonight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I really think, dear, that no matter how mad you were at me, here we are going to build a new house and you just throw money away. Wasn't it bad enough to get a traffic ticket, but I mean, then to go and give $10 to... Well, you couldn't tell who she was. You know,
what are you talking about?
That woman you gave a $10 bill to that was soliciting money for some of these things.
I gave her a $1 bill.
You gave her a $10. And she told me what a wonderful, generous man you were. I was so annoyed at you. We give very generously to the organized charities out in here. And
I gave her a $1 bill.
You may have thought so, but you gave her a $10. She showed it to me.
I gave her a $1 bill.
No, dear, it was a $10. The idea of giving $10 to what? What was she representing?
Well, I don't know. Children. That was it. Homeless children.
What homeless children?
I don't know. It was certainly a worthwhile project. I mean, I should think. I mean, there were children made homeless by the typhoon. That was it.
What typhoon?
I don't know what typhoon. Wherever typhoons are, I guess.
Well, didn't you even wonder where this typhoon was? Well, dear, maybe it's all right, but believe me, unless it says Red Cross or Community Chest or United Fund or something I recognize, I don't just hand out money on the street, helter-skelter. Certainly not $10 bills, and in cash.
Look, this woman was very nice.
You said we should write checks for charities anyhow, so we had receipts. And you told me yourself the Better Business Bureau warned against fly-by-night charities and names we didn't recognize as being worthwhile. And what are these, dear? Relief for homeless, typhoon, children?
Wasn't there a typhoon in Alaska recently?
Well, it's so certainly there wouldn't be many children made homeless in Alaska. Well, as I said, it may be all right, but as you said, if we're going to teach Betsy a sense of responsibility, we have to have it too, dear.
I gave her $10, huh?
Mm-hmm. And I just wonder if you don't agree with me, dear.
Oh, I do. I certainly do. I knew we'd wind up in perfect agreement.
The Couple Next Door is written by Peg Lynch and stars Peg Lynch and Alan Bunce with Jay Barney and Elaine Ellis and is produced by Walter Hart. This is Stuart Ness, inviting you to listen again tomorrow to The Couple Next Door.